Hello, and welcome to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dio Lanier. It's Wednesday, November 26th, and I'm your host, Dr. Lanier, coming to you live from Gainesville, Florida, as I do every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Now, before I actually even start the show, I want to take a moment out to thank Lady Charmaine Day. She is a great friend of mine, and in addition to that, she also is a CEO of Unlimited Help Incorporated, and it's a Christian consulting company, and I've used her consulting services before, and she did a great job in helping me with my business. But I was actually on her radio show a little earlier today talking with her listeners about, trying not to overeat, especially with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, trying to make sure that we stay on eating healthy even through the holidays. And Lady Charmaine Day can be reached at her website, unlimitedhelp.com. And as I mentioned, she also has a talk show on Blog Talk Radio, and it's called Taboo Talk. So I just wanted to take some time out to thank Lady Charmaine Day, not only for having me on her show, which I enjoy doing, but for also encouraging me to have this show. I'm actually having a great time doing it, and I hope that I'm providing information that will be helpful for families, and so I wanted to take a moment to thank her very much. Now, today's topic is Let's Get Moving, incorporating different types of exercise into our daily lives. And last week we talked about food groups, so we went over the new food pyramid. I referred you to the mypyramid.gov site that actually breaks down the different food groups, and we talked about them, which include the grains, fruits, vegetables, meats and beans, milk, and oil group. And we also talked about the different foods that were in each of those groups, and how important it is to try to eat something from every group in order to have a more balanced diet. So that's what we talked about last week. Today, I want to focus on physical activity and different types and different functions of exercise. I was watching the Oprah Winfrey Show yesterday, and they were talking about the blue zones on that show. Dr. Oz was on, and there was a gentleman, Dan Buettner. And they were talking about the blue zones, which are areas where there is a longevity in life in the inhabitants of the areas. And it was looking in an area of Costa Rica, Japan, in Okinawa, Japan, in California, Loma Linda, California, and Sardinia, Italy. And these were areas where there were people living not only to and past 100 years of age, but they really had a lot of energy, a lot of vitality, even up until age. They were showing people riding bikes. They were over 100 years of age and just different things of that nature, and they wanted to look and find out what were they doing in order to have that longevity. And besides their diet, many of them have a plant-based diet, but it also showed the importance of being physically active. I mentioned there are people who are over 100 years old working out and riding bikes and walking great distances. So it really is important for all of us to just maintain a certain level of physical activity, and that's important at any age. And in general, I'm coming to you from Florida, so Americans in general aren't really physically active. I don't want to generalize, but when we look at the problem of obesity, there is a problem with how active we are. We tend to sit around a lot and spend a large amount of time in front of TVs, video games, and computers. And actually, the way you know, neighborhoods and things are set up, and actually society in general, it makes you have to go out of your way to be physically active. If you have a desk job, you're sitting at your desk for most of the day. The children are in school. They're not able to walk to school or ride their bikes to school like we may have done in the past. And so there's less opportunity to be physically active. You really have to make that effort to do that. In addition to not being as physically active, there are studies that have shown that people often eat when they're in front of a screen. So if you're at work on the computer, you might be snacking on something, or if you're on the computer just kind of surfing the web or watching TV, there may be, you know, food involved while you're sitting there. And if you're trying to maintain your weight, that can be a double whammy, because not only are you not being physically active, but you're also eating, taking in calories that you're not burning off. So it's very important for us to be physically active. And in order to maintain a healthy weight, it's being physically active is just as important as eating right. So just to go over some of the benefits of physical activity, it can keep your body healthy. We mentioned some of the health problems and diseases that come into effect from being overweight, but you can actually reduce those risks by being physically active, like heart disease, colon, and other types of cancers, type 2 diabetes, and high blood pressure. So being physically active can keep your body healthy. It can burn off calories, which helps you stay at a healthy weight. It can make your bones, your muscles, and your joints strong. It makes you feel energetic. And it also builds strength and endurance, which we'll talk a little bit more about later. It can help relieve stress. So that's stress related to life in general, stress related to work, or even with school. If you're studying for a test, all of these stressful situations can be relieved to a certain extent with physical activity. It can help you sleep better, which is important. And it's, in general, it's a good idea to get enough rest so that you can have energy to be physically active in the first place. So I think those two go together quite well. Physical activity can also help your mental health. When we exercise, it releases endorphins in our brain, and those are the feel-good chemicals in our brain. And what it does is it makes you better able to handle emotional challenges. You have a better outlook on life in general, better self-esteem. It improves your sense of well-being. And the flip side of that is that it reduces feelings of depression and anxiety as well when you're physically active. When I mentioned self-esteem or feeling good about yourself, and also it can give you something to do if you're bored. If you're laying around and you think, oh, I'm bored, I'll just watch some TV, that's the perfect time to just do something, take a walk or anything to be physically active so you won't get caught in that rut. And last but certainly not least, it's a great fun way to spend time with your friends and family members. So those are all of the benefits of exercise. I'm going to review again how much exercise we need. I think you I've talked about it before in the past, but I'll definitely go over the recommendations for everyone in general. When you're looking at children and teenagers, the recommendation, Human Health Services and the USDA recommend that children and teens are physically active for at least 60 minutes on most, if not all, days. And the American Academy of Pediatrics also believes that as well. Now, for adults, the guidelines are that adults be active for at least 30 minutes. And when I'm saying active, this is moderate intensity physical activity, usually above what you would normally do. And that's recommended on most days of the week. And that 30 minutes is recommended in order to reduce the risk of chronic diseases that we see in adulthood, like I mentioned before, with high blood pressure and heart disease and things of that nature. So that's just to reduce that risk. If you are wanting to avoid or prevent weight gain that happens as we go into adulthood, the time frame of physical activity that's recommended is 60 minutes of moderate to vigorous intensity exercise on most days of the week, and that will help you kind of prevent weight gain as we get older. Now, there is a little special category for those who have lost weight. If you have been struggling and you've been successful in losing some of the weight, then it's actually recommended that you do at least 60 to 90 minutes. So that's an hour to an hour and a half a day may be needed in order to maintain that weight loss. Now, before you just kind of go off the deep end, oh, my goodness, hour and a half, it does not have to be all at one time. I think that what throws a lot of people off. And if you just break it up into however many increments of time that you'd like, whether it's divided into two or three parts throughout the day, if it's not a problem for you to exercise all at once, then by all means, do it, and it's great if you can do that first thing in the morning. But breaking it up even to 10-minute bouts of activity is a great way to reach that goal of at least 60 minutes for most people, and definitely 30 minutes at a minimum. Great way to do that. And I did mention the intensity level. That's important, too. If we're walking, which I really love walking as a form of exercise, there's a difference between kind of walking and strolling and then walking at a pace where it's like you're hurrying to get somewhere, like you're in a rush. And that's a little bit more of a moderate to vigorous intensity of exercise if you're walking a little bit faster or any type of physical activity that you do. You want it to be at least moderate intensity. Okay, and I just want to take this point to, and just in case you're joining us, you're listening to the Healthy Lifestyle Show with Dr. Dial Lanier. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we are talking about exercise today and the different types of exercise that we can do in order to keep ourselves healthy. The other thing that I wanted to break down is the types of exercise. You are, when we're physically active, there are going to be three different categories of fitness, or another way of looking at it is types of physical activity that are really beneficial for us, all of us, to do. And those three categories are aerobic activities, resistance or strength activities, and then balance or flexibility. And I'll go into detail on each of those. Aerobic activity are things that help us to build our endurance, and we can develop those by doing activities. For example, aerobic activities are things that are going to speed up our heart rate and our breathing, and it improves our heart and lung fitness. So that's why aerobic activity is very important. And examples of that would be brisk walking, like I mentioned a little earlier, jogging and swimming, and all of those are type of activities that are going to increase your heart rate and your breathing and improve your heart function and lung function. The second type is strength training or resistance, strength building, and weight-bearing activities. Now, all of these help to build and maintain your bones, your muscles, and your joints by working them against gravity. And examples of that would be carrying a child, lifting weights, as well as walking. And all of these are going to help to build and maintain your muscle and your bones. Now, just a note about strength training. it is actually a fun way for everyone to build up your muscles and your bones. And you need to just make sure that you're doing something that's properly designed and it's a supervised program for it. And it, the ways that we can improve our strength are using free weights. I'd mentioned a few, but in addition to that, free weights or weight machines or rubber resistance bands, as well as your own body weight as a great way to build up muscles, especially for adults. When you have resistance on your muscles, the muscles have to work harder, to move. And while your muscles are working harder, they're growing stronger and they're growing, working more efficiently. So that's how that builds up our muscles. And also around our muscles and our joints, we have ligaments and tendons that are connecting in things, and they support our muscles and our bones. So while you're doing strength training, that can build that up as well. Now, the goal, I should mention, this is an important point, the goal of strength training is not to bulk up. And I don't want you to confuse strength training, which is what I'm talking about, with things like weightlifting or bodybuilding or powerlifting. Those type of activities are not recommended for kids and teens. In those sports, the people train with very heavy weights, and they participate in modeling and lifting competitions. And kids and teens who do those sports are really at risk of injuring their growing bones, muscles, and joints. So that's not really recommended. But with respect to strength training, it's something that even kids as young as 6 years old can do with activities like push-ups and sit-ups. As long as they can perform the exercises safely and follow instructions, strength training is a great way to build everyone's sense of balance, especially in children, their control, and having them be more aware of their bodies. I do want to stress, though, that we want them to stay away from heavier weights if they're lifting weights, if they're a little bit older. Say they're a student athlete. Heavier weights you want to stay away from. If you have something that's a smaller amount of weight and higher repetitions, that's something great to do. But kids get in strength training just in everyday playing, especially when they're younger. So whenever you see a child going across the monkey bars or some kids who are wrestling or doing handstands and cartwheels, all of those are different forms of strength training and building up their muscles that are just normally built into everyday play. So that's great. The last category is flexibility or balance and stretching activities. And those really enhance your physical stability and your flexibility, and that can reduce your risk of injuries overall. I think it's really important before you do any type of exercise to warm up and then cool down after you finish the activity. I think that's important not only to just kind of get your muscles ready for physical activity, but it helps prevent any injuries, and it also helps prevent that soreness that sometimes we can have when we just jump in and you overdo it. You can be so sore the next day or later on that you don't want to even try that exercise anymore. But if you warm up by stretching gently and then cool down afterwards, that's the best thing for your body and especially for your muscles. Different examples of stretching flexibility activities would be stretching. Things like dancing, yoga, martial arts, and Tai Chi. Now, I like doing yoga as well as Tai Chi. I really think that they're helpful from a mind-body standpoint, especially if you focus on what you're doing and focus on stretching your muscles. If you are, trying to plan your grocery list while you're stressing, that might tense you up a little bit. So it's important to just kind of be in the moment when you're doing that and make sure you're getting the benefit out of whatever physical activity you're doing, but especially with something with stretching, which requires that you're a little more present and aware of your body and breathing. And I think it's a great way to add to that sense of well-being that we were talking about before. So those are great ways for adults. A lot of times when we're talking about adults, we're looking at, you know, going to the gym or going for a run or a walk as forms of physical activity. But I mentioned with children, their physical activity is playing. That's their form of exercise. That means that if you're, you know, they're in gym class at school or soccer practice or dance class, even if they're at recess or riding their bike or playing tag, all of those are forms of exercise for children, and they should get as much of that in as possible during the day. I broke down aerobic activity, strength, and flexibility, and I talked about monkey bars and using that strength for that in kids. But ways that kids do physical activity are by playing tag. So when you see kids running around and it's like tag, you're it, and they're running off, that's a way that they're building up their endurance through aerobic activity. And just being flexible in general. My daughter, she can actually drop down to the ground into a split. And I hope she keeps up that flexibility. If I tried that, I think I'd probably have to be carted off by a medic or something. That might be a problem for me. But she does a great job with it. And so I think it's important for us to maintain our flexibility, our strength, and our aerobic ability. From being young and all the way up into our older adult years. That's important. One of the other things that I wanted to talk to you about today is the different types of physical activity. There are actually places, the one weekend booklet I mentioned that was put out, let's see, I have by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. They actually have a handy guide to calories burned and common activities. And so what they looked at is activities that you would do for about 30 minutes time, and those calories that you could burn were based on a healthy 150-pound person. If you're lighter than 150-pound, that's something to keep in mind. If you come across some of these activity charts, you want to look like, well, what are they basing it on? If it's a healthy 150-pound person, which a lot of them are, if you are lighter than that, you're going to burn fewer calories. And if you're heavier than that, you will burn more calories. For example, they gave walking a leisurely walk, which is about 2 miles an hour, that will burn 85 calories. If you're walking more briskly, like you're kind of in a hurry, that's about 4 miles an hour, and that will burn 170 calories in 30 minutes' time. Other examples were gardening, which is about 35 calories burned in 30 minutes, raking leaves, jogging gets you up to 275 calories in 30 minutes' time, and they just go down. And they also include common chores like washing and waxing a car, pushing a stroller or stair walking, as well as sporting activities. If you're swimming or playing basketball or running, you're definitely going to burn more calories. And that also gives you an idea of what's considered a moderate physical activity, like walking briskly or gardening, versus something that's a little more vigorous and will burn more calories, like running or heavy yard work or playing basketball. So actually you can find that on their website. And it's a great way to kind of gauge what you're doing and to see, like, if you compare the calories that you're eating with how much activity you'd have to do in order to burn those calories off. That's always interesting to see what you'd have to do in order to get rid of what you've eaten. And it's especially important when we're talking about going into Thanksgiving tomorrow. And actually, I do want to take a minute. I did want to finish up with the topic of physical activity, going over all those things. Now I want to turn my attention to some Thanksgiving tips. Since the holiday's coming up tomorrow, this is a time where people really tend to overdo it quite a bit. And I wanted to give you some tips to try to avoid overeating so you don't have to work extra hard burning all those extra calories. The first Thanksgiving tip I have for you is to make sure you have a salad available. some extra fruit or vegetables around that are going to help curb your hunger. That's great. A lot of us travel or we may have family in, and while you know, people are in there preparing the meal lovingly, it's always nice to have some healthy not only things to eat like fruits and vegetables that are fresh, but also some healthy snacks to have in between so you don't succumb to, you know, having too much of everything that's provided that day. And speaking of that, we also want to make sure that we control the portions that we have. It might be a good idea, instead of getting the jumbo plate that's, you know, the biggest plate we can find in the cabinet, getting a smaller plate, maybe you know, maybe an 8-inch plate or 9-inch plate is a good idea. It'll seem like you have a lot more food. You'll be less inclined to pile and have it cover every inch of the plate. If it's smaller, it'll be better. And that's a good way to help cut down on the calories just by having smaller amounts. Another thing would be to look at what types of food you're eating. I mentioned earlier that I was on Lady Charmaine Day's show, and we were talking about the types of food. If you have the turkey and all the trimmings and all the sides, you might not need to have the stuffing or the dressing and the mashed potatoes and the candied yams. I mean, you can kind of keep going on. It might be better if you start out with a salad and have a little bit of things and then trade off. If you think you're going to want dessert, then maybe you can cut out the potatoes and have a smaller portions of some of the other starch foods, and then have more vegetables instead. Another tip would be to eat slowly. When you're taking your bites, you want to make sure you're chewing and enjoying what you're eating. Put your fork down so you're not ready to just kind of come right away with another forkful of food. But, you know, eat slowly and chew, and that's a great way for you to recognize when you're getting full. It takes our minds about 20 minutes to realize when we are full, once we've eaten. So if you're eating at a fast rate and you're trying to hurry up and get to dessert, you might miss out on those cues that your body gives you. So if you eat to when you are satisfied instead of when you're stuffed, that's a great way for you to recognize when you're full and when you've had enough. The other thing would be to not have dessert directly after you have your meal. That way, if you're waiting after that full 20 minutes, if you still want dessert, having a small portion in moderation, I think, is fine. But you may realize that you're just too full for dessert, and you can have it later, and that will be even better. The last tip that I have for you is to take a walk after you meal. You have your meal. All your family and friends are together, and maybe if it's just, you know, you and a significant other or whoever you're eating with, even if you happen to be by yourself on Thanksgiving, it's always good to have something to eat, but use physical activity as a way to help burn off the calories that you've consumed. It's a great way to continue the fellowship as you're going out. Let's just go for a walk together. And it's a good way to kind of maintain that physical activity that we were talking about. You don't have to stop being active for like the rest of this week and on through the weekend while you're eating leftovers. You can just do something easy like go for a walk, and even tomorrow when it's over, kind of resume your normal physical activity regimen that you had. And if for whatever reason you don't have one, that would be a perfect time to start one. So I hope those tips will be helpful as we're going into the Thanksgiving holiday. And hopefully we will not overdo it, and I will check back with you next week to see if you followed those tips and if they were helpful. I want to remind you that the information presented on this program is for education and motivation purposes only. Please consult your personal physician or other healthcare professional before starting, changing, or discontinuing any treatment. I want to thank you again for joining me today. Please be sure to tune in next week when our topic will be Feeling Good About Ourselves, the Importance of Mental Well-Being. I look forward to speaking with you next Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And until then, remember to be healthy and God bless. Have a good one.